All right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melonheads of the world. Happy Monday, everybody. Today is April 27th, 2026. And our top story this morning is we're talking about airline bailouts again. You may recall last week we talked about how Spirit Airlines was in talks with the government for a $500 million lifeline. All right, government airlines, great. Well, when you feed one, right, a lot like seagulls or stray animals, when you feed one, the next thing you know, you got 10 of them at your door. Well, this morning we've got Budget Airlines Frontier and Avelo are both seeking $2.5 billion worth of rescue money from the government. So I guess we're doing this again. We're doing this whole airline bailout thing. We did it after 9/11. We did it after COVID. And now I guess we're doing it after / during Iran. We're doing this bailout thing for the airlines. And this is, of course, jet fuel prices are the crisis that is brewing. The world is steaming towards a jet fuel crisis right now. We've got a chart that I found or that Mish found on Twitter this morning. Fantastic chart, illustrates just how quick we're steaming towards this crisis. And yet, because all of these things are being done, like airline bailouts are being discussed, there's not any demand destruction taking place. And so the market isn't getting the signal to slow down your consumption of jet fuel because you're running out of it. Instead, we're going to do these bailouts and all these other things and price controls to interfere with those market signals so we won't adjust our consumption, which means one day we're going to wake up and just be out of freaking jet fuel. That's what happens. Price is important information about the scarcity of vital resources. And when price goes up, it means they're getting more scarce and you better stop using so much, or at least consider, is it really that important to you to use this fuel that you might soon run out of it? When you put price controls in place and bailouts in place, you block that signal. And so the demand never changes and you run out of it. Price controls lead to shortages every time. Speaking of the Iran conflict, which is driving this up, had a great quote from Javier Blas I read this morning. No war, no peace, no oil. And that pretty much sums up the state of things, right? There was no additional shooting over the weekend, at least not that I'm aware of. There was a story yesterday, your typical Sunday night jawbone the futures higher story about, oh, a deal is imminent. Not really. The Iranians made a proposal. It's exactly like the last proposal. Neither side has budged. Both sides still have their blockades in place. No boats are getting through. So basically nothing has really changed in Iran since Friday night. We did have $344 million worth of tether was just frozen by the U.S. Treasury, or by tether at the behest of OFAC at the U.S. Treasury. I'm assuming OFAC is part of the Treasury Department. Don't quote me on that. That's the Office of Foreign Assets Control. This is all being tied to the Iranian regime. Now, there's a couple of recent stories that overlap with that frozen tether over at the Treasury Department that we're going to talk about, why you may want to pay attention to that. Some interesting parallels to that story. Also, the fertilizer squeeze is going on again. Another fallout from this Iran war conflict, whatever you want to call it, adding more pressure to farmers. We've got farmer bankruptcies are up 46% year over year, not quite at crisis levels yet. They were higher 2 years ago, three, 4 years ago also, but a big jump year over year, a big change. A lot of farmers were already in big trouble because of the trade war. The Chinese chose to retaliate against American farmers. That was their target of choice. And so the farmers were already in trouble, and then fertilizer prices double on top of that. And a lot of them just pulled the trigger on bankruptcy. But there's a big difference. We saw fertilizer prices go vertical in 2022, right? In 2021, leading up to the Russian invasion. But there's a big difference. Grain prices were a lot higher back then. Right now, grain prices are not. They're actually very low. So there's not any relief. I don't know if that means higher grain prices are coming, or are these farmers just going to change their planting plans, but we'll take a look at that one this morning. We've got a huge week ahead. It might be a slow news day today, but there is a lot of news ahead in the week. In particular, on Wednesday, we've got big tech earnings from Google, Microsoft, Meta, and Amazon, all reporting on the same day. What's that, like a quadrillion in market cap reporting all within a few minutes of each other? guys, that's all four of the big hyperscalers reporting all at once. So that's going to be drinking from the fire hose Wednesday. We've also got the Fed on Wednesday, the FOMC. The Fed is expected to not change interest rates, leave it alone. But there have been some interesting Fed developments. The Department of Justice dropped their probe into Jerome Powell, the criminal probe about the overspending on the remodeling of the Fed building. Because the DOJ dropped their probe against Powell, Republican Senator Tom Tillis has dropped his opposition to Warsh's confirmation as Powell's replacement at the Federal Reserve. Tillis had said, I'm not going to vote to confirm Kevin Warsh as long as this DOJ thing is going on with Jerome Powell. Well, the DOJ dropped it, and then Tillis dropped his opposition to Warsh's nomination. So it looks like Kevin Warsh is set to be our next Fed chair. Those votes will probably happen this week as well. We've got an oil merger this morning. Shell is buying Canada's ARC Resources for $16.4 billion. It's the first oil merger we've seen in a couple of months there. Domino's earnings were out, and Domino's earnings, I think, touches oil and gasoline as well. We had a big miss on comps for Domino's, and those comparable sales estimates had already been lowered at the end of March. You better believe gasoline prices is a big driver for that. Domino's gets a lot of their income, a lot of their revenue from lower income folks who are just cutting corners anywhere they can, cutting costs anywhere they can, because gasoline got more expensive and they're ordering less pizza. So what does that say about the state of the U.S. consumer? Well, you look at consumer sentiment at all-time lows. It's not too hard to figure out where that is. We've got China has blocked Meta's $2 billion acquisition of AI firm Manus. And that's pretty interesting because they already did it. Meta already bought the company. They already paid for it. They already moved all the people into their office. They already closed the deal pretty much. Also, Manus is not even a freaking Chinese company. They're in Singapore, you know, kind of like all those middlemen who were illegally buying NVIDIA GPUs through Singapore and then routing them on to China. Not really a Chinese company. It's a Singapore company. I don't know what the deal is with that story. Can China block it? I guess when you can disappear family members of the founders anytime you want, maybe that can be persuasive of these people to reverse a deal that has already seen billions of dollars change hand. I mean, like Tencent already got paid for their stake in the company. So what do you mean you're blocking it? I don't know. Maybe it's like the Panama Canal. China, you go ahead and think what you want, say what you want. We're just going to be over here running the canal. And last but not least, we're going to end the show with a story from Meta as well. It's one of those what stage moments. Every day you hear something ridiculous, some overhyped, stupid quote or something from one of these AI founders. But this one that we've got from Meta this morning, I think this one just takes the cake. So we're going to wrap it up with that one. Guys, we got a lot to talk about. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance this morning. Don't forget that like button and hit that subscribe button right next to it if you're new here, because we do this every morning. So you can come have your coffee with the melon heads as we go through markets. And well, right now, the S&P 500, it is red, but not excessively so, down about 12 points, 0.18% lower this morning. The Dow is off by 113 points, a little less than a quarter of a percent in the red this morning. And the NASDAQ is lower by 0.2%, about 51 points in the red here. So stocks are down across the board, but albeit just a little bit. The U.S. dollar, meanwhile, is weaker here, 25 basis points lower at 98.28. And looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are marginally higher this morning. The 30-year yield is at 4.930. That's higher by almost a point and a half. The 10-year yield is at 4.318, almost 1 basis point higher. The 2-year, meanwhile, is at 3.802. That's 2.5 points higher. And the 1-month is at 3.663, unchanged this morning. Looking over at the commodities market, we got metals are red again. Spot gold, 46.94, below 4,700 now. Off by about 15 bucks this morning, or a third of 1%. June COMEX gold futures are off by about 0.2% at 47.08. That's lower by $32. Spot silver, meanwhile, is at $75.12, lower by 58 cents, or about 0.75% this morning. May COMEX silver futures are at $75.12. That's lower by $1.30, or about 1.7%. But I still like this shiny. Silver appears to be going on sale here in the mid-70s, where it's been for a couple of days. Copper, meanwhile, lower by 0.3%. Platinum is lower by 1.6%. Palladium is lower by almost 1.8%. And crude oil is higher by 1.8%, $96.10 here, up by about $1.70. We'll look at the oil chart in just a minute. First, let's take a look at what's going on in Bitcoin. $77,670 as priced on Coinbase. Pretty much just wiping out the gains we had yesterday. Overnight, we did hit a high of $79,496. Michael Saylor is most likely still buying using his silly infinite money glitch called Stretch, which is when uninformed retail investors think they're putting their money in a bank account, but really they're just buying a shitco stock with an uncertain yield. But right now it's lower by about $1,000. We had an interesting crypto story late last week. U.S. officials freeze $344 million in Tether's USDT linked to Iran. Now, this story is pretty interesting. Let's talk about the story and then why this got my attention. U.S. officials said on Friday that $344 million in Tether, frozen on Thursday, was linked to Iran. The official tied the blacklisted addresses to transactions routed through Iranian exchanges and the Central Bank of Iran wallets. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirmed a sanctions action targeting the same wallets, describing a broader push to cut off the financial channels Tehran uses as diplomatic efforts to end the war stall. All right, so there's two things that I find very interesting about this story. The first is, remember, it was just last week that we talked about the arrest of Irish gangster Daniel Kinahan. Daniel Kinahan was at the center of my video about Hyperscale Nexus. Highly recommend you check that one out if you haven't. It was his fake AI startup that they were using to launder drug money and apparently terrorist money, because Daniel Kinahan is also a money launderer and a financier for Hezbollah and the IRGC. And he was just arrested in Dubai last week, where he has been hiding, and I use that term loosely. He's been out in the open living a flamboyantly, obscenely wealthy lifestyle out in the open. The Emiratis were hiding him or sheltering him. Well, Iranian drones, which he helped to finance landing on the heads of the people in Dubai, apparently changed their opinion about whether they wanted to protect him anymore, because Daniel Kinahan was arrested last week. Now, all of a sudden, $344 million worth of Tether is being seized by OFAC, courtesy of Tether helping them out with that. It's got to be tied to the Kinahan arrest. Kinahan does a lot of work in crypto and sleazy finance linked to Iran. And the other interesting thing about this story is both of these wallets were on the Tron blockchain. Right? Tether operates on Tron, also operates on Ethereum. But the fact that both of these wallets were on Tron, I couldn't help but notice that's the same blockchain that was founded by Justin Sun. And Justin Sun is the guy who is currently suing World Liberty Financial because they froze his tokens. Well, World Liberty Financial is run by President Trump, and President Trump gave Justin Sun a presidential pardon, which most people can think that he basically bought via his investment in World Liberty Financial. And Justin Sun is also the founder of the Tron blockchain. And that's why he was under indictment for all kinds of AML KYC violations over at Tron. Well, Justin Sun sues World Liberty Financial. Next thing you know, Tether's getting sued on Tron or seized on Tron. I don't know if that's connected, but it at least warrants consideration. So a lot happening. There's a lot going on in the perimeter of this $344 million of Iranian crypto that just got seized by OFAC. But back on oil, we've got oils a little bit higher today. We talked about it, $95.91. Didn't really go anywhere over the weekend. Still sharply higher from when we started the crisis. So let's talk about what's going on this morning. The latest fallout from Iran. Budget airlines pitch Trump administration on $2.5 billion relief plan. While Spirit's talks with officials continue, industry executives see the window to negotiate for financial assistance and tax relief. A group of budget airlines, including Frontier and Avelo, is seeking $2.5 billion in government assistance in exchange for warrants that could convert into equity stakes in the companies, according to people familiar with the matter. The budget airline group came up with the $2.5 billion figure by calculating how much more they estimate spending on jet fuel this year compared with their earlier forecasts, some of the people said. The estimate assumed jet fuel prices would remain above $4 a gallon on average for the rest of the year, the people said. I have a crazy idea. How about instead of going to the government for a bailout, why don't you just raise your ticket prices? No, I'm not a big fan of inflation, but that's what happens, right? When fuel gets more expensive and you give people a ride for a living, you raise your freaking prices, just like the guy who cuts my grass just raised prices, right? That's what you do. And did I complain? No, because his costs went up. Of course he's going to raise his prices. And then people will be like, oh, but it got more expensive to travel. Well, then maybe you should travel less. And then all of a sudden, we're using less jet fuel. Now the crisis isn't so bad. But no, let's just do bailouts. Let's do corporate socialism. Conversations about a potential economic aid package are expected to continue in the coming days, the people said. Low-cost airlines have been heartened by President Trump's statements in the Oval Office on Thursday that he likes having a lot of airlines, so it's competitive. The spokesperson for the White House didn't respond to a request for comment. The request comes as the administration is separately considering extending a lifeline to Spirit Airlines to help it avoid liquidation. Spirit is in its own negotiations to receive a loan of up to $500 million in return for warrants that could give the U.S. government a significant stake in the low-cost carrier, the Wall Street Journal has reported. Yes, that would help Spirit emerge from bankruptcy. They're second in 6 years, but who's counting? What a mess, the budget airline space. And yet, look, competition is great, because it generally drives prices lower. But competition is great so long as you are not artificially creating competition using government money paid for by taxes and, more importantly, debt, which is financed by the central bank. Because then you're just creating artificial competition that consumes more jet fuel that you're going to see in a moment here we're rapidly running out of. So let's talk about that jet fuel. This one from Tarek Brooker, AKA the avid commentator. He says, jet fuel exports on the water are collapsing. Jet fuel demand remaining relatively robust. See earlier commentary about bailouts of airlines and price controls means the demand is not changing. It's being artificially propped up. The rock is going to meet the hard place. And this chart is from Kepler here. And what a chart this is. All right. There's a lot going on this chart and it's hard to see. Don't hurt your eyes. But this is daily commodities on the water. They're showing kerosene and jet fuel. And then the colors are based on the destination. And this is over the last 18 months or so. All right. So you can see at the start of March, the total jet fuel on the water has dropped precipitously from basically over 5,000. That would be about 5,000 kilotons, down to about 2,000 kilotons. So there is less than half of the jet fuel in tankers on the water today that there was at the start of the Iran war. And, you know, we've mentioned this a couple of times, these quotes about how, you know, in 6 weeks we run out of jet fuel. By the way, that was 2 weeks ago. So if my calculations are correct, we run out in 4 weeks, unless this is accelerated. But you can see here by the colors, the dark blue obviously has gotten very small. That's Northwest Europe. So your Scandinavian countries, the UK, not doing so well. Also, the Mideast Gulf region has collapsed quite a bit. That's obvious there. And the green ones, Southeast Asia, they have collapsed to almost nothing. So Southeast Asia and Northern Europe appear to be the most acutely impacted by this crisis. And I guess they're the ones that are furthest from the Middle East that use the Middle East fuel. If you get any further than that, you're basically closer to America where you get your jet fuel from us. But this chart just goes to show you guys, you know, the ground's getting a hell of a lot closer here. And when this thing hits zero, all hell breaks loose in the airline industry. So if you've got flights booked over the next couple of months, let's just say start planning on contingency. Start your contingency planning, because I get the feeling a lot of airlines are going to cancel a lot of flights soon. Meanwhile, we've got Iran reportedly proposes Hormuz Strait deal to the U.S. Here's where things stand and what's next for markets. This story broke late last night. It was already an old story when it broke. They were trying to jawbone markets right as the futures start trading. Global markets are entering the week balancing resilient risk appetite against renewed geopolitical strain as prospects of U.S.-Iran negotiations took a hit over the weekend. Let me translate that. Resilient risk appetite. People are overpaying for shit. They have no idea what they're buying as the world goes to hell in a handbasket in the Middle East. All right. That's what that first paragraph is saying. U.S. President Donald Trump scrapped plans to send envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner to Islamabad for talks with Iran on Saturday, citing tremendous infighting and confusion within Tehran's leadership. Though uncertainty looms large, Iran has offered a new proposal to the U.S. for reopening the Strait of Hormuz and ending the war while suggesting that nuclear talks be deferred, Axios reported Monday, citing a U.S. official and two sources with knowledge of the matter. Why was that news? That was so stupid. Axios is like, breaking news, according to anonymous people who don't want their names used. The same freaking thing the Iranians have been demanding all along. That was just a silly exercise last night. The markets reacted to it initially. The futures popped a little bit and then immediately gave that back when they realized just how stupid it was. The jawboning of markets, honestly, this is the fakest I've ever seen markets. And that's saying a lot because markets have been really fake for a couple of years now. See also the AI bubble. But what's been going on with the social media posts and this this game in the press of endless optimism to try to jawbone oil lower and stocks higher, and the fact that it has been so successful, it's really disappointing. Let's just put it that way. I want to give people more credit than that. I know I shouldn't, but I want to. Signaling that attempts to secure a deal were still ongoing, Iran's foreign minister Abbas Araghchi made a brief return to Islamabad on Sunday as Pakistan's leaders pushed to revive talks between Tehran and Washington. Though Trump said discussions could instead take place over the phone, Araghchi has reportedly departed Islamabad for Moscow. All right, he's going to go see Vlad instead of talking with Trump's delegation. So look, we're going nowhere here, guys. That's what's the takeaway there. Meanwhile, Iran fertilizer squeeze could spell trouble for next year's grain harvest. All right, 2022 called. They want their headline back. Then it was Russia. Farmers around the world are facing the second surge in fertilizer prices in 4 years due to the Iran war. But with the grain prices too low to cushion the blow from the deeper supply crunch this time around, many are rethinking planting plans, putting global food production at risk. The Middle East is a leading fertilizer production hub, and much of global fertilizer trade typically passes through the Strait of Hormuz, which has seen traffic brought to a standstill by the conflict. Translate that, higher food prices on the horizon because of what fertilizer is doing. But again, that doesn't help the farmers today. In 2022, high global grain prices helped farmers offset the steep increase in input costs caused by the Ukraine war, but ample harvests of grains and oilseeds in recent years have restrained crop prices, not to mention the trade war, which has deliberately targeted U.S. farmers in retaliation. Chicago wheat prices are roughly half of what they were 4 years ago, for example. Soybeans were nearly 50% higher than now. As a result, many growers today lack the revenue to absorb ballooning fertilizer bills. And that's why farmer bankruptcies are rising rapidly at the same time. Meanwhile, we've got a merger announced this morning. This is pretty much it, guys. Just the title tells you the whole story. Oil giant Shell agrees to buy Canada's ARC resources for $16.4 billion. There may be more on that, but this story just broke this morning. Now, let's talk about Domino's earnings, because this is important insight into the health of the U.S. consumer, in particular, the lower-end U.S. consumer. Domino's pizza slides after missing comparable sales estimates. Domino's pizza shares slipped after the company reported a smaller-than-expected increase in comparable sales, citing growing competition and economic challenges. Shares slumped as much as 4.8% in pre-market trading in New York. Domino's U.S. same-store sales climbed 0.9% for the quarter, according to the statement on Monday. That is less than the 2.5% increase expected by analysts. Those projections had already been lowered from roughly 3.1% at the end of March. The pizza chain faced an intensifying macro and competitive environment, though expanded market share, CEO Russell Weiner said in a statement. More details on its guidance will likely be given during the earnings call Monday morning. Analysts expect Domino's to cut its full-year outlook in part because the chain relies more heavily than its quick-service rivals on lower-income customers, a group whose spending may be curtailed by rising energy costs, red gasoline prices. And what stuck out at me the most here, they're still seeing same-store sales growth, right? 0.9% comps are going up. It's not keeping up with inflation, but they are rising. But that 0.9% is versus what they had previously projected, 2.5%. And even that 2.5% had been drastically cut from 3.1% just at the end of March. So in a span of a couple of weeks, we go from 3.1 to 2.5 down to 0.9. You can see how gasoline prices is causing people to just order less pizza. And right now that's taking a chunk out of Domino's, a big chunk this morning. DPZ down 7.17% this morning, trading at $341.78 ahead of the opening bell. And we've got China blocks Meta's $2 billion acquisition of AI firm Manus. Did they though? Did they really? Let's read on. China has decided to block Meta Platform's $2 billion acquisition of agentic AI startup Manus, a surprise move to unwind a controversial deal that's drawn fire for the leakage of technology to the U.S. Oh, cry me a freaking river, China. You don't want your intellectual property stolen? Oh, please, yeah, feel free to write a 10,000-word freaking essay on the importance of respecting intellectual property rights. I'd just love to hear your opinion on IP, China, but I digress. The National Development and Reform Commission ordered the deal's cancellation in a brief statement on Monday. The decision was made in accordance with laws and regulations, the powerful state planner said in a one-line notice without elaborating. The ruling is likely to send a chill through China's burgeoning AI sector and emerged weeks before a high-profile summit between President Trump and Xi Jinping. Beijing has tightened scrutiny of key industry firms in the wake of the deal, which has been largely completed. Initially hailed as a template for startups with global aspirations, critics have since lamented the loss of valuable technology to a geopolitical rival. Still, it's unclear how Meta would unwind the deal, or if they will at all. Manus employees have already joined Meta. Capital has been transferred, and the startup's executives have joined the U.S. firm's rapidly expanding AI team. Manus staffers have already moved into Meta offices in Singapore, not China, mind you, Singapore, while existing investors, including Tencent, Zhenfeng, and Hongsheng, have received their proceeds. They already paid for it, according to people familiar with the matter. People spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss a private transaction. Guys, this deal was already done. So unless they're going to undo the deal and give the money back, I don't know what China even thinks they're doing here or what they can do. I mean, I guess they could always just like disappear the family members of any Manus employees who go work for Meta in the middle of the night. And let's be honest, it's China. Let's not put it past them. But hey, China, you think what you want. Good luck. And we got to wrap up the show with this one. I just love this. All right. What stage is it, guys? What stage? No, this is not a sci-fi novel. This is Bloomberg. Meta seeks to power data centers with energy beamed from space. Yes. Energy from space. Okay. I can't even keep a straight face when I read this article. Meta Platforms is looking to power artificial intelligence data centers with solar energy collected in space, taking a novel approach to meeting its insatiable demand for electricity. The company said Monday that it clinched a deal for up to 1 gigawatt of space solar energy from Overview Energy, a startup seeking to collect sunlight in satellites orbiting Earth and then convert it to electricity to support the grid. In other words, beaming it down to America. Okay, a gigawatt is roughly equivalent to the power generated by a nuclear reactor. Overview's energy vision for space-based power plant that beams energy back to Earth is still hypothetical. In other words, the technology doesn't freaking exist. The startup is continuing to develop and test its underlying technology with plans to conduct an initial orbital demonstration in 2028. Trust me, bro. This is how stupid this bubble has gotten. All right. Oh, yeah. We're going to beam solar power from space down to our data centers. All right. And just like, let's just hope we don't fry any airplanes that happen to cross through this space microwave transmitter. Oh, wait, wasn't this the plot from G.I. Joe, the movie? Is Duke going to, but they killed Optimus Prime and the kids freaked out. So we're going to rewrite it at the last minute. So Duke only goes into a coma. And then during the end credits, we'll be like, hey, Duke woke up. He's okay. Yeah. I went on a tangent there, but this is just getting so stupid. Will this bubble please just pop already? Energy beam from space. You got to love it. Hey, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. Thank you very much to my Patreon supporters and YouTube channel members and on YouTube and Buy Me a Coffee. And I'm Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.